Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, and today, October 14th, our guest tonight will be James Vincent. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Before we speak with you, James, I want to tell everyone that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. You can send questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com, and you can also join us in the chat room where my sister Denise is heading up the conversation over there, and I believe she has some news she wants to share with us tonight.
I just have two quick things because I'm ready to get to the show. Just wanted to remind everyone, we spoke about this about a month or so ago. Makeup Artist Magazine is now offering a Makeup Artist Pro card. And this card is available to professional makeup artists only, and it gets you into exclusive pro-only times at all international makeup artist trade shows. It gives you a 10% discount on magazine subscriptions and other special offers. So to apply for the card, you can go to makeupmag.com/pro. And one last important thing, Illusions Cosmetics is giving, actually donating $1 to Susan G. Coleman for The Cure for every time you watch episode 2 of Beauty Talk. So go out to youtube.com/illusionscosmetics and check out episode 2 of Beauty Talk. It's up there now. Check it out, and we'll donate $1 for every view that we get in the month of October. And that's it.
Exciting news in the makeup community.
Yes. You have a lot of news that you want to share with us.
There's always so much news. Do you ever get to the point where you're like, really, more makeup news? Are you kidding?
Right.
No, but I'm very excited to be here tonight, ladies. Thank you so much for having me.
I've got a few things
of my own that I wanted to tell you about. I wanted to first say I just had a meeting with Jeremy Meek from On Makeup Magazine and the Powder Group. And he was telling me that the TPG Pro program is getting ready to introduce the next issue of On Makeup Magazine, which I am the director of artistry for. But TPG Pro is still in effect, and with the TPG Pro membership card, you are eligible not only for entrance and VIP to the Makeup Show New York, the Makeup Show LA, the Makeup Show Chicago, but it also opens you up to discount for makeup lines, including Makeup Forever, Eve Pearl, Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics, 20, 30, 40% off. And this is great for makeup artists that are just starting out and maybe don't have everything they need to get their pro cards from a lot of these lines. It's pretty much every line except MAC that's involved in the makeup show. So it's a good thing to look at. And if you're interested in that, you can email jeremy@thepowdergroup.com.
Oh, that's great.
Cool.
So we'll put that up in the chat room.
Okay, let's go back for a minute. It's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. But let's go back to the beginning, like where it all started for you. What inspired you to become a makeup artist, and how long have you been doing makeup?
I've been doing makeup professionally for about 15 years. I didn't really plan on being a makeup artist. If anyone has ever seen me present at the makeup show or IMETS, you know that I'm kind of what I call the accidental makeup artist. I had always done theater, and I paid my way through college doing makeup for the Body Shop. But I really didn't know that there was a job that existed. And when I was in college, we started a camp at Brown for children with HIV, and the Body Shop started camps for children with HIV in the New England area. And they hired me, and they knew that I was working my way through school, and they brought me in to do some community outreach and some training development for them. And then I moved to Atlanta. Hey, ATL. And
hey.
I moved to Atlanta to write my thesis on women of color and the white beauty myth, and Mac hired me. And that was back before anyone knew what Mac was. There were no Mac stores south of D.C. at that point. And it was a really amazing experience. It was before Mac was owned by Estee Lauder. It was a very small company, and they gave me a lot of opportunity. And I started working with celebrities, and my first celebrity I ever worked with was Pebbles, if you guys remember Pebbles.
Oh, yeah.
And she brought me in, and I got to do some of the LaFace artists who were brand new at that time, like TLC and Monica and DeBrat, and met people like Gladys Knight and Coretta Scott King and Jane Fonda, and just started doing a lot of celebrity stuff. And then I moved to New York to launch a makeup line called Urban Decay. And New York just really was a great place for me. I started doing a lot of music stuff, a lot of celebrity stuff, as well as I launched Stila with Janine LaBelle on the East Coast. I launched Luxottone. And then I launched Alchemy for Bigelow Chemist. And then I started my own makeup line called Pretty Pretty. So I've always kind of had a million things going on. But really, I fell into makeup artistry. My degree was going to be social work. And, you know, I say I do more counseling now than I did when I got paid for it, though. So it all evens out.
James, let me ask you, when you were in Atlanta, did you work at the MAC counter at Parisian's and Fitz Plaza?
I did. I opened that store, Parisian at Fitz Plaza, yeah.
That was the only counter for a long time.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And now all those people that couldn't get hired at MAC back in the day, now they have so many stores. It's crazy. There's so many amazing artists now working in the Atlanta market. I think Atlanta, for me, is one of my favorite makeup markets. And I actually still work there through CNN with Tara Young and her crew. And
I'm
very fortunate. I think Atlanta is one of the most unrecognized markets for talented makeup artists. It's a beautiful city. If you haven't been there, it's one of my favorite places in the world. And, hey, I love a little Chick-fil-A, too, which I can't get in New York City.
So oh, yeah.
If you want to send me some sweet tea and some good Christian chicken made by fine Christian women, I would enjoy that very much.
I think I can handle that.
But you
and
know,
some waffle
but you
fries.
Know, James, I know, aren't they good? I heard that Chick-fil-A is spraying its wings a little bit.
Oh,
I believe
really?
They're going to be opening, yeah, I believe they're going to be opening a location in Los Angeles soon.
Oh, no way. I've been to the Dwarf House, which is the Chick-fil-A restaurant in, like, Lakeville, Georgia or something.
Yes.
Very exciting. And actually, when I lived in Atlanta, I worked at MAC, but I've always been kind of a hustler like you ladies are. And I also worked at a store in Little Five Points called The Junkman's Daughter. And that was one of the first, they really gave me a lot of opportunity to shoot some of my first ad campaigns and put on some of my first fashion shows. And it's funny now, I thought about it, this season is my 30th season doing New York Fashion Week. And I have key shows in New York, LA, Miami, Paris, London. And it all started there in Atlanta at the Junkman's Daughter. And, you know, I really owe them a lot for giving me that opportunity.
Oh, wow.
Now, you spoke a few seconds ago about the different cosmetic lines that you helped them launch.
Mm-hmm.
What role did you play in helping to launch those various lines?
You know, I think I was always part of the team. Michael DeVellis, who owns the Powder Group and on Makeup Magazine and is the vice president of something or other at Makeup Forever, always laughs at me. I don't really know what it is. I never know titles. I just, Turner Floyd from Makeup Forever says that I just say they're in charge of artistry, because that's basically what I always say everyone does. But I you know, I was part of the team. I was a retail artist at MAC, and then I became, at the time it was called a creative artist trainer. And I traveled throughout the country and training other makeup artists. But MAC was very small then. And then with Stila, I actually was their first trainer on the East Coast. They didn't have a training department at the time. I think there were like 4 employees. And with Urban Decay, there were about 3 of us at the time in New York. And I always enjoy the startup. I enjoy small companies, and I enjoy seeing that kind of entrepreneurial spirit, and that's why I like to support lines like Illusions that have, you know, individuals behind them and not necessarily corporations. And it's why I still continue to work with lines like Makeup Forever and Embryolisse and Obsessive Compulsive that tend to be more independent-minded. Even as they grow and even as they become more corporate, they still consider the artist in everything they do.
Absolutely. Now, you have several, well, maybe one title, but for several different entities, I should say. You're the director of artistry for The Makeup Show, correct?
Yes, actually, now with The Makeup Show, I'm overseeing all of the artistry and the education.
Tell us a little bit about, I know Makeup Show just celebrated like its 5th year anniversary.
Yeah, we just, the Makeup Show New York, we're going into our 6th year. It is now the largest pro-only beauty event that happens for makeup artists. It is exclusively pro. It is not open to the public. You have got to show some type of identification for working in the industry to be able to attend. And because of that, we're able to get some really major figures. I can't really talk about who my keynotes are completely at this point, but the Makeup Show New York in the 6th year, which will be May, we're now talking to, so far, Sam Fine and Rosemary Swift are two of the artists that will be there with us this year. In L.A., we're talking to Maurice Stein. We are talking to people like Danessa Myricks and Crystal Wright, who will be doing a session called Women in the Industry, focusing on the role of women in our industry, and Taylor Babion, who is an amazing makeup artist based in L.A. And actually, when I hang up the phone here, I've got a phone call with Troy Jensen, who wants to work with us, but it's so hard sometimes with makeup artists to be able to commit so far out. I know Joanna Schlipp will be at the makeup shows with us. V. Neal will be at all of the shows with us. We've got Patty Dubroff is trying to be there, and so many other talented makeup artists. It's very exciting this year, but L.A. will be going into our 3rd year. New York will be going into our 6th year, and in June we will be introducing for the first time the Makeup Show Chicago for all of my Midwest makeup artists. And and then our first European show, the Makeup Show Europe, will happen in Berlin in September 2011.
Wow.
Yeah, very exciting.
Nice.
Okay. You said September for Berlin?
The Makeup Show LA is our first show. It's February 26th and 27th, I believe, in Los Angeles downtown. The Makeup Show New York is May 16th and 17th. The Makeup Show Chicago is in June. I don't have the dates in front of me. And then the Makeup Show Europe will be in Berlin the first week of September, or the 3rd week of September 2011, I'm sorry.
So can we talk a little bit about, you said something about the makeup show just being for professionals only. Now, years ago when I first heard that, I thought, well, wow, that's not fair. You have to show, you know, what about people who are aspiring to be makeup artists but yet they don't have any, you know, credentials?
But I think what we there are definitely cases that we call the prosumer. And what those are the people who have an interest in makeup. The show is open to makeup artists, hairstylists, stylists, models, photographers, students, or anyone who has an interest. But the thing is, really, with the makeup show, it's very different than some of the other trade shows that happen, like IMATS and things like that, because you're paying $50 to come in, and most of the people that are coming to the makeup show are really focusing on the education as much as the shopping and building their kit. We really work to have two free days of education, and it really, I think that's what the big difference is. So consumers aren't interested in that. I was just at another show that happened in Pasadena, and it was people, I think, were waiting like 3 hours to buy one eyeshadow for Makeup Forever. And I know that for me, our clients at the makeup show wouldn't necessarily be interested in that. So we've made the decision to keep it pro and really become a resource. And I love IMATS and some of the other beauty shows that happen. But I think for us, we want to maintain this as a show that's only for the professional and a place for to build a community and to network and to make sure that everyone that you're meeting with is someone who has a vested interest in makeup artistry. So for those people that are interested, call, buy your ticket ahead of time. So you can, you know, talk to someone and say, maybe I'm thinking about becoming a makeup artist, and this is what I've got. But people won't spend the really, I don't think your average woman on the street would be very interested in sitting for 3 hours and listening to Sam Fine kind of talk about what it means to be a makeup artist. I think that's why it is a show for professionals. And that's the way we'll keep it. Plus, you know, if you've been to the makeup show, we have over, you know, 5,500 makeup artists through the door. So we don't really have room for, you know, the casual consumer.
Right.
And also for the brands, that's not a great thing because they really give the amazing discounts at the makeup show. If you're looking to build your kit, that's really the place to be because you're getting 40 and 50% off all of this makeup. So the brands don't really want the consumers there, you know, take it, kind of cannibalizing their time and not being able to talk to these makeup artists that have questions about the product.
Right. Well, you pretty much answered all of my questions, but that's really the reason I brought it up was because based on IMATS in Pasadena earlier this year, I was just really kind of disgusted by it because, I mean, you couldn't walk around. I mean, I think this was the very first time, I think, that I saw, and I've been attending that show for like 9 years, so this was the first time that I actually saw something like that happen. And, I mean, the line, it was great to walk in and just to see the long lines. I just really felt like, okay, the show is really growing. But to go inside on the floor and, you know, to walk around, you could hardly move from one, you know, from one brand to the next. And then to see a ridiculous line around NYX, you know, something that you can get out of CVS or Walgreens. Yeah. It was just absolutely ridiculous to me. And so then the education didn't seem like it was for the makeup artist. It just,
well,
I mean,
I think it's a tough call. And I have to say, this, I haven't been to the IMATS show in a few years. I really enjoyed the show. I was there this year with Embryo Lease. I did an amazing seminar that was completely booked about kind of makeup for editorial. And it was amazing for me because I'm there and I'm seeing friends in the industry like Kevin James Bennett and Corin and all of these people that I don't get a chance to see every day. And that's what I really enjoyed about it. But I think it was, for me, it was a little different because I was there with Embryo Lease and people maybe didn't know what some of the product were that they were picking up was and didn't have the respect for some of the lines. But I think Michael Key does an amazing job of bringing in a lot of different types of artistry. There's a lot of effects that happens. There's a lot of education that happens. And I really enjoyed the community aspect of it. But I think if you were trying to go and shop, then maybe, you know, I don't know. That's why I think that my reaction was after I saw that, people said, will you open the makeup show to consumers? And I said, no, I'm going to go the opposite way, and I'm going to really bring in people like Crystal Wright and like Michael DeVellis to really focus on the career and building your career and bring in Victoria Stiles and talk to people about building your website and your portfolio and bring in artists like John Hennessy and Orlando Santiago and really look at their artistry or bring in someone like a Sam Fine or a V. Neal or a Maury Stein and really get these artists inspired. And that's why I want the makeup show to be about getting to the next level in your artistry and your career and make it more pro than it's ever been. And that's really what we're focusing on with all of the makeup shows, really responding to the needs of the artist in each individual market. So LA will talk more about television and film and union. Chicago will deal with beauty and salon and spa and bridal as well as editorial and catalog. And New York really is the epicenter of fashion and beauty, and it will continue in that vein. So that's really what we're doing with the makeup show. And I think with all of our all of the different things that I have my hands in with On Makeup Magazine, with the makeup show, with the powder group, with TPG Pro, I really try and make all of those things a resource for makeup artists at every level of the industry. You know, whether you're Billy B and you need someone to come in and assist you on a job, or whether you're that artist who is just graduating from makeup designery who needs to understand what to have in your kit, we want to be able to be that resource for you, you know? I mean, even with Illusions, you know that how many times have I been like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm opening a store in the Bahamas, I think you guys would be great.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like what we do. And
right.
I think that's why it is such a community that we build around the makeup show, because people really get excited when it's coming up and to see who's going to be there and to see their friends that they haven't maybe seen in a while.
Right. Yeah, and that's always a good thing about, that's pretty much why, like she was saying, we've been like for 9 years at IMAX. That's pretty much just because it's getting together with friends that live there and that are also makeup artists, and we've just kind of made it an annual thing. But I like what you said about the makeup show and how each city, it's kind of focused on its, you know, one particular thing that's geared toward that area.
Yeah.
What can we look for in terms of education at the makeup show throughout next year?
I think with all of the makeup shows, there will be definitely you'll see some similar education, because there's always a need in whatever market you're in to understand the basics and fundamentals of artistry. So, you know, there will always be a focus on eyes. There will always be something about modern skin. But then what we try and do is look at each market and say, okay, well, what needs to happen here? So in the LA market, I really focus on getting the agencies there, getting the union there, getting makeup artists like Maurice Stein and V. Neal, who are really making a difference in the world of television and film and development, as well as people like Crystal Wright, who really understand the market and the marketplace and know what to let makeup artists know to build their career. Chicago is a brand new market for me, but artists in the Midwest are very hungry for education. We saw that with the Artist Summit a few years ago. And what we saw was so many of these artists are kind of looking to go beyond the basics of salon education and spa education, and that's what we're looking to provide there. We'll be bringing in artists like Sam Fine and Joanna Schlipp and Danessa Myricks to kind of get them inspired. Johnny Lavoie is someone that I'm talking to right now to bring into Chicago to really get people excited and educated about what's going on in the rest of the world. I think so many people sometimes feel like makeup artists only exist in New York and L.A., and I live
right.
in both of those places, and I can tell you there are talented makeup artists in every corner of this country, in every city. I meet talented artists, and I think that one of the things we need to do is make sure that wherever you are, we're helping you get the education and the resources and the product you need to be the best makeup artist you can be in your area doing the type of makeup that you do. And I think that one of the things we tried to do with the makeup show was make it very inclusive, whether you were a bridal makeup artist or a counter makeup artist or an effects and television makeup artist. We want it to be something that keeps you excited and energized and getting the education that you need to bring your career to the next level. So that's really what I'm focusing on with the makeup shows.
Cool.
I'm kind of a talker. Do I talk too much?
That's fine.
Oh,
no, you're good.
All right.
Now, speaking of education, I know that you also, you know, teach classes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you're teaching, what is one of the things that you want to impart to your students?
For me, you know, I think that for me what it is really keeping yourself educated and excited and open to learning. One of the things that I think happens in different cities is that sometimes when makeup artists have gone to school for makeup, they think they've learned everything they need to know. And I actually had an assistant who had graduated from a school cry the first time that we worked together, because she felt like she had so much more to learn. And for me, it's just always about being open and always about being in the frame of mind that you need to be for the job at hand and asking yourself the questions that you need to ask to really be there and make the decisions for that job. So many makeup artists go in and they right away think, oh, I've got to do makeup in this order. I've got to do eyebrows. I've got to do four colors on the eye. I've got to do this foundation. and they're not really thinking about the job or what needs to be done at that moment. And so what I try and impart to artists is to really think and really respond to the needs of the face in front of you and the direction of the person in charge of that job. And I think that's why I work as much as I do. You know, people keep talking about this recession, but I have to say I've never been busier. And it's, I think part of it is that I am an artist that is willing to take the risks. And I have assistants that are better makeup artists than me. You know, I have no problem saying that. Technically superior artists. But being a great makeup artist is much more than being a makeup technician. And it's understanding the reference, and it's understanding how to collaborate, and it's understanding what's important, and it's understanding the camera and the lighting and the role of the photographer and being able to communicate and talk to all of those people. And I think that's what I try and impart to my students, is that being a great makeup artist is much more than knowing a smoky eye, you know.
Mm. Absolutely.
Because I'm tired of that smoky eye.
What?
Oh, my God, me too.
I'm tired of a smoky eye.
Right.
Unless it's, like, you know, something rock and roll. You know, one of my clients is Joan Jett, and so I love that rock and roll smoky eye. But,
right.
Oh, Lord, I mean, don't other makeup artists get frustrated? I tell all of the makeup lines, I could do 20 workshops on the smoky eye, and they would be booked every time. But try and tell a makeup artist how to make more money, and nobody wants to come to the event. I don't understand.
Exactly. It's the truth. It really is.
Yeah.
So
I'm an opinionated makeup artist, too. I hope I don't get in trouble after this.
Oh, no.
I hope Jen Jane of Beauty isn't going to start calling me out for things that I say on Twitter.
Oh, I know, right?
I have to say, one of my favorite things about Twitter and Facebook is all of these artists that, you know, you never get a chance to see, we're connected to all the time. So I want to thank all of the makeup artists that support the makeup show and on Makeup Magazine and the Powder Group constantly, like Jen James and Afro Bella and all of those artists that are constantly keeping me updated with their networking, because sometimes I get lazy with it. I'm old. It's hard for me to Twitter all the time.
That's tweet.
Wow. No, yeah, see, I don't know. When I was in college, we didn't even have email. I wrote my thesis on a word processor. That's, you know.
Right. When you were in college, I bet you had the DOS operating system, too.
Oh, I don't even know what that means, but I'm assuming it's something old.
Okay, maybe I'm telling my age.
No, I'm not that dumb.
Right.
Sometimes I like to play stupid so I don't have to do things I don't want to do.
Right.
You know.
I get it.
I trick my boyfriend all the time by saying, like, I don't know how to do that, and then he'll, like, hang the thing on the wall, because really I just don't like to do things sometimes.
I hear you. Now, listen, I've heard you say a couple of times you talk about On Makeup Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some reason, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but for some reason I thought, I don't know, maybe earlier this year or last year, I was told that there was going to be no more On Makeup Magazine, and we were going to be getting our, like, last issue.
No, the magazine is changing right now. On Makeup Magazine is now twice yearly. And what that allows me to do is, because really I'm a working makeup artist, and it's a passion project, and Michael DeVellis, who owns On Makeup Magazine, has a more than full-time position as a vice president at Makeup Forever, and it's a passion project for us. And I felt like there was a need in the industry, and that's why Michael created the magazine. He wanted it to be a resource for makeup artists that maybe weren't doing monsters. It's kind of, I jokingly say it's a monster-free magazine, but it really is for those artists that are working in bridal and beauty and television and film and stage, but really are more focused on technique and kit and inspiration. And so what we decided to do was do it twice yearly. The next issue of On Makeup Magazine that will be coming out in November is the last issue that will include advertising. After that, it will be more education, more pro artistry, and we'll also be introducing an internet aspect of On Makeup Magazine, but it will always continue. I just think it needed to change and adapt because the industry has. And in the next issue, I've got amazing makeup artists like Patty Dubroff, Troy Jensen, Ginny from Mayron, Chantel Miller from MAC, Florian David from Makeup Forever. There's so much. Taylor Babion is in the next issue, Rosemary Swift. We have so much makeup. We've got Erin, who's the key makeup artist from Glee, who's got an article coming in there. It will be more education and more artistry than we've had in other issues, but it will continue. We're just kind of figuring out what it is because of Twitter and Facebook and all of these things. Printed the printed magazine has kind of needs to adapt itself, and that's kind of the process that we're in on Makeup Magazine. But Jeremy Meek is really kind of working there now and helping me to take it to the next level, and Michael is really focused on keeping this as a resource because the industry needs it. You know, I think that one of the difficult things with magazines is I can't look at them when I'm working. You know, Rosemary Swift just said to me, "Did you see the new Italian Vogue?" And I said to her, "No, I haven't, because I don't look at magazines during Fashion Week. I keyed 16 shows for New York Fashion Week. If I read a magazine, I get too influenced, and then my ideas are not my own." And so it's difficult when you're reading traditional trade, traditional fashion or beauty magazines. So what we want this to be is more than a trade magazine, something that inspires you to try new product, new techniques, new ideas, and to think in new ways. And I think that Michael DeVellis has really succeeded with that. And I think that, you know, I can humbly say that I think I have a large role in On Makeup Magazine, and I hope that it is challenging for people. And sometimes the issues come out and people don't like it as much as I do, you know. But we try and always have it be something different than a traditional magazine. And there are some people that are afraid of things when they're not the traditional, you know. And we've had artists contribute like Billy B and Charlie Green. And Billy B insisted that his shoot was not retouched. And that was very controversial for people. And I thought it was exquisite. I thought it was so beautiful to see real makeup on a real face without retouching. And that scared, like, makeup artists were like, "This is weird," you know. And I was like, it's so, you know, it was exciting to me that we could do something like that. You know, that's what we try and do. We try and push it a little bit and keep people thinking and hopefully trying new things that make them money in their makeup artistry, you know, because that's, you know, being inspired is amazing, but if you can't translate it into your artistry, then there's no help there. If you're only shooting things to put them up on Model Mayhem and you're not working, but you're on the internet all the time kind of talking to everybody about your opinion on artistry or what should be in a kit or, you know, how hygiene needs to happen on a set, then you're not really contributing to your industry other than kind of giving your opinion. And we want people to actually go out and work. So I think I just said something controversial.
That's quite all right. We love that.
All right.
Can you take a couple of questions from the Beauty Lounge?
I would love to. I'm sorry I talked so much.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Okay, let's see. I have to scroll up a little bit because, you know, there are quite a few questions rolled while you were talking.
Yeah. Do they call in or are you going to be reading me the questions?
I'm going to be reading you the questions.
Oh, fantastic.
And if anyone would like to call in, please do call in at 914-803-4399. But the first question is, what are some of your favorite trends and looks?
Some of my favorite trends for fall, since we're going into fall here in New York, I think I'm really loving the influence of the lash again, that kind of lush lash that we are seeing on every runway, the influence of individual lashes, black mascaras like Aqua Black from Makeup Forever is one of my favorites, really just defining the lash and bringing it out. I'm also excited to see an end to really overdrawn eyebrows. I think I've been fighting the fight for natural brows since I left MAC 14 years ago. And brows this season are natural. They're to the light or medium color of the hair. They're a little bit fuller. They're a little bit denser. And I think it's so much more flattering for so many women, and I'm excited to see that. And for spring, since we're doing the spring collections, I'm excited to see the influence of rock and roll. Joan Jett is my girl, and I probably had three designers this season who used Joan Jett as an influence, and Debbie Harry and B.B. Buell. And I love to see the return to more organic makeup and women looking more like individuals. So I love that focus on the eye. I love the focus on a natural skin that looks like skin. Some of my favorite skin products, like Embryolisse, is a great moisturizer for the skin that just keeps everything looking flawless. I'm also a big fan right now of not using too much powder, and I think that return to kind of that bit of shine and then that juxtaposition of shine against matte is really nice. I love that. And I love the kind of return to bright lips. I think I just did a photo shoot for On Makeup where I had 6 really amazing makeup artists from different brands that were working with us, and they all had these really beautiful lip tars from Obsessive Compulsive in their kit, and I was really excited to see that everybody's loving this bold lip right now. I think it's exciting to see makeup again. I live in New York, in L.A., like I said, so it's nude. It's been nude lips for so many years. I'm excited to see people looking at color again. So.
Yeah. And let me ask you, because we have this thing going in the beauty lounge where, you know, some of us are old school, some of us are new school. Do you like to do your eyeshadow first before applying foundation, or you like to apply foundation first?
You know, for me, I appreciate the reasoning behind applying eyeshadow first, but I don't understand it, because for me, unless I see the face the way that I need to see it, if there's discoloration coming through in the skin, if there's discoloration under the eye coming through, I don't know the depth and dimension of the eyeshadow that I'm applying. I think that too many times when I've seen people apply the eyeshadow first with my assistants or if I'm keying the show for Fashion Week, the eye goes too strong when you cancel out the discoloration on the skin. So I think you've got to prepare your canvas first, or else you're doing yourself a disservice. You know, you'll see that it's really important to have balance in your artistry. And so for me, I always have to do foundation first. But that's just my, you know, if I'm doing a really dramatic smoky eye, maybe I will do the eye first. But I think that the skin for me is always the focus. If I have an hour to do a makeup, I might spend 40 minutes on the foundation, you know.
Well, James Vincent, on behalf of the Beauty Lounge, we welcome you to Team Foundation First.
Thank you. I mean, and really, I don't think we saw that eye first until, like, Trish McAvoy. That's a very consumer way of thinking.
Right.
You know, it's something that is this very new school, but it really came out of that kind of Bobby Brown and Trish McAvoy influence on makeup artistry. But I feel like it came from the consumer side of things. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But, I've worked with every makeup artist in the world. It's kind of ridiculous with the makeup show. And I very rarely see makeup artists at a certain level doing eyeshadow first.
Yeah.
Just to throw another nail in that coffin. I'm very opinionated.
Quite all right.
Another question: do you like Makeup Forever's new Rouge? Hold on, I think it's Rouge Artist. They keep typing, so the questions keep rolling.
Are you kidding
up.
Me? I love the Rouge Artist. Actually, I just went to the launch in New York, and it was very funny because it was really packed, and it was so many great makeup artists there and people that I've been friends with for 15 years, and I really love the product. And I just did an event for Makeup Forever with Olivia Palermo from The City, and I used one of the Rouge Artist colors, and I was blown away not only by the color, which I love, but the texture is flawless. And for those makeup artists, I would say the bridal makeup artists have the toughest job in the business. If you need a lip color that's going to last and give you the depth and dimension that you want from a pro lipstick, the Rouge Artist is beautiful for that. And it's such a color selection. I'm not a product-y person, which my boyfriend would laugh at since I have closets full of makeup in my house. But I don't carry a lot of product with me. I kind of like to – I can do everything I need to do with a Makeup Forever flash color case. But the Rouge Artist is special for me because it allows me to bring across not only the color that I want, but a texture that photographs and looks beautiful for a long time. And that, to me, is why I really have fallen in love with the lipsticks. I have 3 of them actually sitting next to me right now that I just pulled from the store for a photo shoot this week. They're really beautiful.
Nice. And let's see, I think that's
I've got to be honest and just say Makeup Forever is one of my sponsor lines. I actually key a lot of shows for Makeup Forever, and I work with them a lot. So, just to keep it all on the up and up, I do actually work with Makeup Forever on a lot of projects. They're very good to me. So, but I do work with about 98 makeup lines through the makeup show. So, and as a diplomat, I would say I can find something I like in every makeup line.
Right. Now, also, let me ask you this. There was a question out there, and I think you mentioned it earlier, but I don't know if this person signed on a little late, but where can they find out information on the makeup show?
If you want information on the makeup show, you can go to the website. It's themakeupshow.com.
Okay.
Or you can email information at themakeupshow, or you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter. It's James Vincent Makeup on Facebook and J Vincent Makeup on Twitter, where The Makeup Show is actually on Facebook as well. And there's a lot of new things that are coming out. Bethany Beauty Mark Towns, who's kind of like my right hand and a lot of things, is actually coming on to work with us at The Makeup Show and will be helping me to develop a blog so that The Makeup Show will be a resource for people 365 days a year, not only during the four shows, and so that's very exciting. And we also will be doing things. We sponsored our first show for Fashion Week New York this year, the Ashton Michael Black Label show, and we'll be sponsoring the show in LA as well. So the makeup show is kind of expanding what we do as well so that we can be present for makeup artists all year long, not only, 4 days a year. So it's exciting.
So let me ask you, is Bethany close by?
Bethany is in the other room. I had to make them leave because they were being loud. She's actually in New York. Bethany's moving to New York. She works with me on a lot of projects. So there'll be more jobs in Baltimore now because Bethany's moving to New York to steal jobs from me.
Tell Bethany she should be calling in asking you a question on tonight's show.
I told her not to because what's she going to ask?
Oh.
Bethany's staying at my apartment tonight because she's working in New York tomorrow. She'll probably be like, where's my towel? I don't know what she's going to ask.
Oh, Lord.
She's a troublemaker. don't let Bethany Towns fool you. There's trouble brewing under there.
Okay.
Now she'll probably call in. She's probably tweeting.
Oh, gosh. Tweeting, yeah.
So let me ask you, because you mentioned it a couple of times, and that was one of my questions I wanted to ask, that you've worked all over the world on fashion shows.
I have. I've been very fortunate. I have keyed shows in every major city except Milan. I just keyed Miami Fashion Week Swim for Mercedes-Benz and Makeup Forever in Miami, which was, I think I did half of the shows and Lottie did half of the shows, which was kind of amazing. But yeah, I've key shows in New York, LA, Miami, Paris, London. I've never done Milan. So it's been very exciting. And I've lived all over the place. I've been very fortunate. I've lived in London. I've lived in Dublin. I've lived in Rome. I've lived in New York and LA and Atlanta. And I never thought that makeup artistry would be such a passport for me. I've done makeup artistry on everybody from Lady Gaga to Barack Obama to Coretta Scott King, and it's just been a way to meet people and see places that I really never thought I would see. There's a big movement right now called It Gets Better that's kind of been on my mind because there has been so many, like, gay teen suicides. And, growing up in a small place, I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, which was very liberal but also very small. And I would read magazines like Paper and Interview and think about going to New York someday. And I never thought that a career could be so beneficial, and a career like makeup artist, she could be so exciting. And I'm very blessed that to have been able to experience the things I have And you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. But I think that, you know, I've been lucky. I don't know if that was the question, but yes, I have done makeup in a lot of different places. In fact, I just got back from Berlin last week, and I got off a plane from Berlin and then headed to L.A. to do a music video, and then headed back to New York and went right to work on set here. So it's not always easy, but it is very fun.
Tell us a little bit about your experience as the key for numerous shows. I know you do a lot of shows, you see a lot of shows, particularly in New York. How do you prepare?
For me, I love the collaboration, and I think one of the reasons that I do so well is that I understand that for a fashion show, it's not about the makeup. You've got to push your ego aside, and you've got to tell the story of the designer. I talk a lot about the editorial eye and developing an editorial concept, but really what you've got to do for a fashion show is work with the designer to tell their story. And I know I see it sometimes on my teams because I have makeup artists on my teams that are very well known and very successful, and it's difficult for them to not always do these over-the-top makeups. You know, I noticed it especially with Makeup Forever, who I've been working a lot with. There's a tendency for makeup artists to always want to throw everything on the face, to always do an eyebrow, always do an eye, always do a lip. And for fashion shows, it's pulling back. It's being smart. It's understanding that sometimes the look is not over the top, and sometimes the story is about the hair, or sometimes you've got to let the clothing just be the focus, and it's very minimal makeup. And I think that's why designers always work well with me. And my mentor is a makeup artist named Linda Cantello, who is a genius makeup artist who has probably influences makeup artists more than they realize. She was the director of YSL for a long time. She's now the director of artistry for Armani. And she does everything you see, every Burberry ad, Versace ad, Armani ad. She's a very prolific makeup artist. And one of the things that she always manages to do is make it about the full story and not about the makeup. And that's what I think the key is for Fashion Week. Or for these makeup artists that are even testing. You know, I get so many people that say, I'm testing and I just bought this blue glitter and I can't wait to use it. Or I just bought these green crazy lashes. And I say, you know, just make it about beauty, make it about simplicity, and show me your best work. And that's what will keep you working, and that's what fashion designers want to see for Fashion Week. They don't want to see your crazy over-the-top, you know, makeup. They want something that tells the story of their clothing. So long answer for a short question, I guess. But that's the secret. That's really the secret to it, is just pushing your ego aside and letting yourself be an artist and part of a team and collaborate, really.
What advice would you give to a makeup artist or even hairstylist or fashion stylist who are just beginning out and they kind of want to know, you know, some things about the business, not necessarily about exactly what they do, but some things that they need to know just about the business in general, just important things that they would need to know.
I would say marry rich or have a trust fund. No, I'm just kidding. I think that, you know, what I think a lot of people have to understand is this is a job. It's a business. You have got to understand the business end of things just as much as the artistry end of things. If you don't know how to talk about money or invoice, I'm not good at those things. That's why I have an agent. That's why I have a boyfriend who reminds me to invoice. If you don't, you know, if you don't know how to use social networking and Facebook and Twitter, figure it out. If you don't know how to build your portfolio, take a class. Makeup artistry is always learning, always. It doesn't stop. It's not a one-time thing. It's constant work. This career is 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You don't have a day off when you're working for yourself because you're always looking for the next job, making the next connection. So many people will say to me, oh, I went to makeup school because I didn't want to go to college. And I said, well, you took the hard route, really, because you know, middle management is very easy for a lot of people. When you know what your everyday is, it's a very easy out. We are always on the hustle. And so I think you've got to always be professional. You've got to always be polite and nice because you never know, you know, who's going to be the next big thing. I think you've always got to walk in the world like everyone around you needs to be treated with respect. And I think that when you do that, when you focus on yourself and your artistry and your integrity, and you make sure that you treat other people well, then success naturally will come to you. But I think that we're constantly learning, we're constantly growing, and we're constantly meeting new people in this industry. And if that's not something that you like to do, if you thought this was the easy way to do things, then maybe you're not in the right place, you know. But I don't think it is where you live or what you look like as much as other people would lead you to believe. I think that we see success in all areas here. I think we see women of all shapes and sizes and men of all shapes and sizes that are very successful makeup artists from all different educational and economic backgrounds. It's an even playing field here if you bring your game every time and if you act as a professional, in my opinion. So I don't know if everyone would agree with that, but, you know. I mean, there are times when I say, like, I think I said it tonight at dinner, like, if I was thin and pretty, I would have a very different career. You know, I think you do work a little bit harder. Black women have to work harder because people will assume that if you're a black woman, you only do black makeup. People will assume that if you're a white woman, you only do white makeup. I think that, you know, you definitely have to overcome barriers like you would in high school or in any industry. But I think that if your work speaks for itself and you're willing to go the extra mile, then there's no limit to what you can do here, you know?
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Thank you.
Now, you're known for your passion for makeup artistry, but also for your interest in women's health issues. How do you marry the two in your work as a makeup artist?
For me, it comes very easily. You know, I think that there's definitely, if you look at my work or any of the companies that I work with or work for, I can only work for companies that share my belief systems. The makeup show is definitely representative of all races, all sexes. I think that we, probably with the Powder Group and On Makeup Magazine, tend to be very liberal because Michael and I tend to be very liberal. And very accepting of all people, I think, except people who don't, maybe not of conservative Republicans so much sometimes, I don't know. But I think that, you know, we try to bring that through, and I won't ever sell the beauty myth. And in my artistry, you know, one of my clients right now that I work with a lot is a Canadian, beautiful, beautiful Canadian artist named Fifi Dobson, who has been working since she was like 15, and she is a beautiful light-skinned girl who kind of is just so exciting to me and such a good artist, and we keep her look very natural. And it's funny because I think there's always a push when you see a young black artist to make her look very hip-hop, and we don't do that. She's rock and roll. And I think that that's what I do. I look at the individual. I don't go in with a stereotype in mind. I don't ever change an eye or contour a nose to look like a Eurasian eye or nose unless someone is requesting that. That's kind of my thing. And I don't ever, you won't ever see me book a model or, you know, talk in a way that would make anyone feel less than they are. I think we love individuality, and that's kind of the way that I work. And with Pretty Pretty, all of my models were real women. My makeup line was called Pretty Pretty, and one of my models was Jennifer Baumgardner, who wrote the book Third Wave, about the third wave of feminism. And I think that, you know, I find it very easy because I don't do that bitchy gay thing that makes women feel less than, and I don't think that I work with other artists who put women down or who play off women's insecurities or sell off women's insecurities. I think, you know, Audre Lorde said the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house, and I think as if we as makeup artists refuse to kind of play into the selling game and really respond to the people in front of us, then it's very easy to be a feminist makeup artist or a humanist makeup artist and not make people feel bad about themselves with makeup. So, and that's my feminist platform. I'm sorry.
Is there anything else that you want the listeners to know about any of the things that you're doing right now since we're winding down?
I think the big thing is so many makeup artists message me every day. I probably get about 300 emails and Facebook messages a day. I can't tell you how many people say, I Facebooked you and you didn't get back to me. I probably get over 300 messages a day from makeup artists looking for advice or looking for answers, and I say, please be patient if I don't get back to you right away. But the other thing is a lot of people have been asking me about the TPG Pro program because they want the makeup discounts, and a lot of people have been asking me about artistry ads for On Makeup Magazine, and I'm extending the deadline for artist ads for On Makeup Magazine. If you're interested in that or you're interested in the TPG program for the education or the discounts, you can get in touch with Jeremy at thepowdergroup.com, and he can answer any of those questions for you. We also have a series of seminars coming up in New York and L.A. For the first few, we're Michael DeVellis and I, along with people like Orlando Santiago and Victoria Stiles, will be doing seminars that people have requested on things like building your portfolio, building your kit, understanding high definition, things like that. So if you're interested and you want more information, email Jeremy at the Powder Group, and he can get you all of the information that you need. Other than that, I think that's about it. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I feel like I'm pitching myself hard here, but that's
quite all right.
Yeah.
That's what we
that's
want you to show
for.
And then the other thing, I think, if I, can you use the last few minutes? I think, I've been really hit hard here in New York City. We have had a lot of suicides in the last few weeks, and a lot of gay bashing is going on. And as a gay male in a community that tends to be very accepting, I think it's important that, no matter what your sexuality, your race, your gender, your creed, that we just remember that our industry is an industry of acceptance and have a voice, have a passion, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, whether you're liberal or conservative, whether you're black or white, Jewish or Christian, and just look and realize that this makeup community is very strong and support each other in that way, because there's always a makeup artist next to you who needs some advice or maybe isn't getting the work that you're getting, and they need that push and they need that support, and just be there. And that's what we've tried to do with the makeup show and the Powder Group and On Makeup Magazine, is just build a community and help people kind of keep their careers going and get to the next level. So I guess that's it. I don't know. I could talk forever. You could do a 5-hour session with me. I love to hear my own voice, except that I don't really like the sound of my own voice, but I like to talk. Any last questions for me?
Well, we have one last question, but I will say definitely we want to have you back on the show anytime, especially when it gets closer to some of your shows that's coming up, the makeup show.
Anytime you guys need me, as long as I'm not on set, I'm here for you. I'm a big fan of Illusions Cosmetics and a big fan of the sisters. I think I talk about integrity in the industry, I think that you two definitely represent that. And I think we're very lucky to have you as a resource in the industry. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
thank you
that.
Very much.
Very last question as we kind of fade out is, what is beauty to you?
Oh, God. Beauty to me? Beauty to me is about energy and spirit. It has very little to do with the physical. I think beauty to me is about being yourself and finding out who you are. And when you're yourself, it changes what people perceive. It's why people like Diana Ross and Barbara Streisand and Sarah Jessica Parker, who at one time weren't considered traditionally beautiful, are now considered to be some of the most beautiful women in the world, because they have an energy and a spirit and a talent that makes people stand up and look. And if you are full of that energy and full of that acceptance and that passion, then people can't help but look at you as beautiful. And beauty for me as a makeup artist is about bringing out that energy in other people. It's not about covering it or camouflaging it or hiding it. It's about finding what it is that makes them special and bringing it out and making the camera and the world notice it. So that's what beauty
Very
is.
Very nice.
Thank you.
I love
yes.
it.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, James. I really do appreciate it. Were you going to say something else?
No.
Oh, I thought
just,
I heard my sister getting ready to say.
Oh, I probably was going to say something, but I'm sure I don't need to. But thank you, ladies, for everything. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's jvincentmakeup.com.
I'm already following.
Yes, me too.
Yes. So thank you so much. And we'll have you on again really soon. Tell Bethany she's going to have her day.
She's causing a ruckus in the other room, so I'll tell her right now.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies. Have
thank
a good
you,
night.
James. All
Thank
right, you.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.